This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So what I want to talk about now is while it looks like 60% of the people here don't seem to be married from the... But a good number is, and these things also relate to people who are not married, is what are the main issues in marriage? We spoke about the first one, which is sexual frustration and sexual problems. The second issue that generally comes up is communication problems, which is probably even bigger than the sexual problems, communication problems. We communicate in a particular way throughout our life. And the people who are around us generally get to understand how we speak. Some of us speak very aggressively, but people understand that we are not aggressive by nature, but that's just the way we've learned to speak. However, our spouse may not think so, and they may take the wrong message. Sometimes there's a miscommunication in terms of we're not able to clearly articulate what we want. So lots of time it's a miscommunication of, I thought you meant this, that's why I did this. Or I thought you had said this, that's why I did this. There's a lot of miscommunication. So that's why what then happens, some people's personality is that if something is irritating them, they don't say it. But they're not patient either. So if your husband or wife is doing something which is irritating you, you don't say anything. But you keep getting angry that he should know better. He shouldn't do it like this. Why do I need to tell him? He should know more. He should know better himself. So then what happens is, the anger keeps getting built up. Then one day he'll do something small and then you'll burst. And then you'll bring all of this. And he said, like, what's that got to do with this? Do you see what I'm saying? That's why the best thing is that to do sabr. But if something gets overwhelmingly problematic and you can't deal with it, then you have a conversation when you're calm. That I don't want to have a conversation when it's heated or when I'm angry. Let me have a conversation with you. Like, if you don't mind, there's something I want to speak to you. Make a nice cup of tea or coffee, a nice cake, chocolate, whatever somebody the partner likes, and have that, and then I just want to talk to you. When they see that the effort you're making and the genuineness of your concern, inshallah, they should be able to deal with it. So there's always ways to deal with it. If you have children, you do not want to bring up issues in your marriage in front of your children. Children are very sensitive to these things. You always want to do it outside, away from the children. Do not ever do it in front of the children, even if it's about the children. One thing you never want to do is you never want to get the children to pick sides. That, hey Ahmed, don't you agree that your mum is like this? You'd never want to do that. You want to teach your children that when there is an issue that they should be unbiased. Right? And they should say, no, it's up to you guys. We leave it to you. We can't say anything. So don't ever co-opt children into doing that. Another thing is that if you're finding that your husband and your spouse is between you, that you're always misunderstanding, or you always get blamed for misunderstanding. I told you to buy this from the shop and you bought this. Right? If you do keep misunderstanding, then do what they call the... What you do is every time they're instructing you or they're telling you do something like this, you repeat it after them in your own words. You call it, in some books, you call it mirroring. It may look a bit weird sometimes. You know, they've said, can you do this for me, or I want you to do this for me, and next time we do this, this is how I want you to do things. Because you always get misunderstood, or because you always misunderstand, the way to start understanding one another is to repeat what they've just said. Not in the same words, not making fun of it, but saying, okay, so what you're telling me to do is X, Y, and Z. Is that what you mean? And they said, yes. Or no, that's not what I mean. Okay, so please explain it to me again. And then, so you call it mirroring. In the beginning, it's going to look a bit weird. But the purpose is to build a better relationship and to understand one another. So communication problems, I'm saying all of this in brief because we don't have time. Communication problems are the big issue. So sexual frustration, communication problems, big issue. Number three, money problems. They cause big issues in marriage, money problems. And of course, in that we've already discussed that it's the husband's responsibility to provide. He's obviously going to do the work. He should not be stingy. The one thing which is allowed in Islam is Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhu. She came to the Prophet ﷺ and he's very stingy. Can I just take from his money? He said, yes, you can. That which is bil ma'ruf, right? You know, whatever you need, you can take. You can't take all of his savings, but you can take enough to be able to live your life with, right? So that's allowed. But the main thing is money problems. The husband should not be so stingy that he makes them literally go through so much difficulty to get money, because it's his responsibility to provide them a decent amount of clothing, a decent amount of food, and a decent amount of shelter. Which basically means that every wife is due by Sharia to a separate accommodation. Doesn't have to be like totally separate, not just the bedroom separate, but a bedroom, bathroom, and kitchen. Right, where it is out of the interference. If you're living with in-laws, for example, even then she's due that. Of course, if she doesn't want that, or she, you know, she's agreeing not to have that, then it's fine. But otherwise, by religious obligation, that is a responsibility. All right, that's a response. Of course, for daughter-in-laws to make khidmah and serve the father, the parent-in-laws is a huge reward. Right, that's one way of getting closer to your husband as well. But if they're abusing her, then she has the right to be separate. Okay. Another problem with where money problems come is that she is asking for too much because she cannot manage her spending or her needs, her desires. She's got friends whose husbands are very wealthy, so they're buying her Mercedes SUVs, and she doesn't have a car. So now she feels bad that my husband can't provide it. Now, poor guy, he's struggling, right? He doesn't have such a job. So she starts comparing other husbands to her husband. This is not a way to live in this world, right? You got married here. Money should not, basically comparing yourself with others and your husband with others should not be the reason for you to break up a marriage like this and mess it up. You make dua to Allah for barakah, and hopefully in the future you can do this. You can have, you know, whatever's halal and whatever you need. But otherwise, to make undue demands. Because remember, your husband has to focus not on just on providing for now, but maybe provide a house, buy a house, and obviously for the future, for the whole family, they have to invest for the future as well. Sometimes you do have cases where the husband is mismanaging his money. Right? Sometimes you have the case where the husband is more focused on his family, which is in another country. So he makes the family here suffer while he sends all of the excess and more than that income to his parents, whereas they don't need that much. Husband should be careful about not neglecting, because the ulama have written that if you've got a person, he's got parents and he's got children, and he's only got enough wealth, money, to either feed the children or either feed the parents, who is his responsibility towards, father and mother or children? First. Children is first. Right? This is obviously, most people aren't going to mean such a straight, but this is a very technical question. If you've just got enough that you can either feed your children or your parents, your children come first. Right? Of course, that doesn't mean you neglect your parents completely in other situations, and you don't neglect your children either completely. This is how ideally husbands should be. So we spoke about communication problems, money problems, problems with sexual intimacy. And lastly, we want to there's so many other problems that could come about, such as infertility. The wife cannot have children. That is a very tough one. The husband wants children, and then poor woman, not only her husband, sometimes the husband doesn't say much, but the in-laws, the extended family, they start blaming her for it. As though she can do something about it, right? One woman wrote to me, and it still terrifies me today. The haunting message that I got. She said, "Sheikh, please make dua for me. Tomorrow or in 2 days, I'm due to give birth, and if I don't have a son this time, I don't know what they're gonna do to me." She's just having daughters, as though she is to blame. Like, blame your son, maybe. Because the chromosomes come from both people. Don't blame anybody. You're blaming Allah, basically. That's what you're doing. Instead of torturing this poor woman, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورَ أَوْ يَزَوِ الذُّكْرَانَ وَإِنَاثًا وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا. Right? Allah will give you sons, He will give you daughters, or He will make you barren, you can't have children. So pressure doesn't help. If somebody cannot have children, putting pressure on them doesn't help. If they're trying, alhamdulillah, let them, you know. So infertility is a big issue. I've mentioned in the book, I don't have time for it now, but various possible holistic cures for infertility. Right? Holistic cures for infertility. You want to try all of them, if that is the case you have, and make a lot of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, of course, domestic violence. Domestic violence is a no-no. I generally tell people that if you are being beaten by your husband, right, if he just gets angry and just beats, you should tell the police. That's generally what I tell. I know it's difficult to do that, but otherwise it carries on. Unless you can give him some other nasiha or whatever the case is and sort him out. Otherwise, it's a habit. One day, alhamdulillah, I've never, in over 22 years, never struck my wife. I've gotten angry, of course. Right? I've struck other people, I beat other people up before. So it's not like I can't do that, right? You know, when you're in school and that, you beat a few people up, you know. It's easy to do that. But I've never struck my wife at all, right? It's just not something you do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, a lot of people use the ayah in the Quran, but when you look at the Quran, it's, again, if you look at the tafsirs of the ayah, Imam Razi is very clear, and he's writing at a time when there's no feminism or whatever. He doesn't have to be apologetic, but if you just look at the way he's in his Mafatihul Ghaib, if you see the coverage, it's amazing. He's basically saying that this is an organized structure, that first you give them nasiha. If that doesn't work, then you stay away in the bed. Then the third option, he talks about striking. But then even in that, the way he discussed it, now the men who hit are not doing that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he says, Imam Shafi says, وَتَرْكُهُ أَفْضَلُ. That while the Quran is allowing, like opening a door, but he said, abandoning hitting is superior. To be honest, in most cases, especially in the West, if you have to hit your wife, it's just going to get worse. So the purpose for which the Quran even allowed it, I'm saying, is so that they will get correct. But believe me, in the West, you hit somebody, it's going to get worse. That means it's already too far gone, there's no point of it. So many men who do hit and use the Quran as evidence, it's totally incorrect the way they do it. Totally incorrect. And even when Ibn Abbas actually talked about it, he talked about a miswak, like a straw size, you know. But anyway, that's besides the point. The Prophet ﷺ said that those who do hit, they're not the best of your men. Right, so I believe that women should never be hit. You should use every other case, but you should follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that regard. A friend of mine, who got married sometime after me, within like several months of the marriage, he contacted me. He said, "Sheikh," he said, "you know what? I hit my wife." And I was like, "How did you do that? Why do you do it?" Because he's a decent guy, right? And I think since that day, he was so regretful, so horrified himself that he did it. I think what the issue was is that, alhamdulillah, I think since then he's never done it again, right, as far as I know. But I think the reason why he did it is because he saw somebody, that's what he was used to seeing, maybe in his own parents. A lot of the hitting is a cultural thing. And it's not just Muslims. I saw a documentary about Papua New Guinea, like another part of the world somewhere. Non-Muslims, they beat their women up. They said, that's the only way we get anything done. And like the women are used to it. So it's like they don't do anything until they get beaten, or some weird culture is really messed up. Right? That's why the culture of men hitting needs to stop. And believe me, even with children, people think the only way to get anything to do with them is to hit them. But hitting, once you get a child even used to hitting, then you have to hit him every time you really want him to get something done. There are so many other measures you can use before then. And you can learn that through disciplining procedures. You know, there's lots of thing written about that. So, if you've seen your parents hit and that's the way your culture is, it doesn't mean you have to do that. There are lots of other ways to sort out matters between you. All right? I said, what we're trying to do is this marriage is an issue. Scholars have to be very open about it and very accessible about it. Because, as I said in the beginning, marriage is what makes up the society and community. So we need to try to help, and there's too many problems because there's a lot of jahala about marriage. So the fact that you've spent 2 days here, two day sessions here, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a source of enlightenment. My maqsad of coming all the way is, and writing the book, is that marriages get enhanced. Because a lot of ignorances, a lot of problems. I did not read any other marriage book while I was writing mine. Because I didn't want to just regurgitate what's there. I wanted to write it from my teaching, my learning, and my experiences. To make it unique, based on purely experience. It's not a fiqh book. There's a bit of fiqh here and there, but it's not a fiqh book. And finally, I need to mention, just in brief, the divorce. If men, especially men, if you're thinking of a divorce, right? That's fine, you can think about divorces, but one divorce is more than enough. Okay, if you need to give a divorce and you get angry and you want to give a divorce, one clear divorce will do the job. That's enough of a bombshell. That's one grenade, right? It's done. Do not throw three. Because when you do thalath, when you do three divorces, then you cannot come together again. I know there are Salafi fatwas out there which say three is one, Ibn Taymiyyah's opinion and so on, but that is against the overwhelming majority of the four imams. Okay? According to four imams, you will be divorced and in zina if you mate again. Okay? So the best thing is to restrict yourself, that if you do need to give a divorce, one is more than enough. So I get so many calls, brother, I divorced her three times. I said, why do you do three? I tell them off first. I said, oh, I'm not very learned. I said, why do you do three then? Why didn't you do 10? Where'd you get the magic number three from? Right? I go, if you go beyond the red light, are you going to get penalized or not? Right? You're still going to get penalized. So it's a point of no return. Then they have to do halala. They have to marry somebody else, consummate the marriage, then come back. It's just this long, ugly procedure. So if you do want a divorce, and you know, I would suggest every man and woman should go and tell 10 men in their family about this. Because they all think three, it's necessary to do three, they say. That's where the confusion is. So you should enlighten people. Everybody should go and tell 10 people, ashara, right, that one divorce is sufficient. Because there are so many families getting messed up because of this. Right? So anyway, and if you do want a divorce, then do it nicely over a coffee. Don't do it just like that. Okay, that's enough from me.